Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 9. We'll read verses 7 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. I'll read verse 7 to you. You'll jump in on verse 8, and we'll read verses 8 and 9 together. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. I'll read two other verses to you. You need not turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Thank you, as preacher reminds us so often that your presence is here. Lord, that Holy Spirit does not flee here. It flees to this place, it seems. We sure do like that. Father, please be with our preacher tonight. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Again this evening, I think, as is always the case, I want to help you. If you'll listen to what I say, you're going to grow because of it. Now, every person in the house needs to grow in this area. The title of the sermon tonight is this, Refusing Reproof. Refusing Reproof. Earlier, we read from Proverbs chapter 9. Let me read it to you again. You don't have to turn to it. The Bible says, He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself a shame. He that rebuketh the wicked man getteth to himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Now, over four different times there, it uses the word reprove or rebuke. Now, let me say something to you. Let me say it very casually. I don't want to say it in a strong way, because it in itself is a strong teaching. The man of God's job in the church is to reprove. Now, if you're not used to that, then I'm sorry, but that is what the Bible teaches. As the pastor, I'm supposed to reprove. As a pastor, I'm supposed to rebuke. Somebody needs to tell Joel Osteen that. You say, well, I don't like that. I just heard an interview with him where he said, I don't really want to tell people they're wrong and that what they believe is wrong. Well, he really doesn't want to tell them the Bible then. Let me read something to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. This is Paul talking to Timothy, who is a preacher. Paul says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There is Paul telling Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. Paul is saying to him, Timothy, it is your job to reprove. It is your job to rebuke. Now, to everyone here that is in a position of authority, and I'm talking about moms, I'm talking about dads, I'm talking about bosses, I'm talking about church leaders, staff members, teachers, to everyone, let me say to you, I don't know any other way to say it but this, I believe there is an art to reproving. There is a right and a wrong way to do it. Some people say, well, I like that thing of reproving, but wait a minute, there's a good way to do it and there's a bad way to do it. Notice there in that passage of Scripture, it says here, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Notice the word all. That word all means you're going to have to be real patient. Going to have to be done in a real wise way. It's got to be done in the spirit, not in the flesh. It's got to be done through love, not hate. It's to be done appropriately. Now, it's my job to reprove. It's my part of my job description is to reprove or to rebuke. You say, well, Brother Owens, what do you have to say about that? One word, yuck. Maybe here's a better word, bummer. That's not a pleasant part of the job description. Now, let me illustrate, and then we're going to get to the scripture, and I'm going to hit point after point after point. But this week, there was a man in the church that I needed to reprove. Had a position in the church. I had to reprove him. I had to ask him to give up a duty because he had done something that he shouldn't have done, and I felt like that it would be a bad testimony. Now, I'll never tell you who that is because it's none of your business. And it's not our job to go around and investigate things like that, but I think it's good that you hear that. But you know what was great about it? He said, well, preacher, that's okay. You're right, and I'm going to do what you say. And preacher, I love you, and I appreciate you being honest with me about it. I like that. He made it easy to reprove. He made it easy to rebuke. Another story. This week, a lady, an adult lady, stepped over the line, did some things that would be a bad testimony. Because of that, I had to make a call. I don't like making the call. And I do it with all long suffering. I'm cautious and patient. I try to be kind and gentle. It's never personal. If you ever have to be reproved, let me tell you this, it's for the work's sake. I love you and I'm friends. You're a sinner just like me, and I'm not out to be uncouth or crude or rude to you. But a lady, I had to talk to her, and I said, now ma'am, because of this, I feel like you need to make a change in your duties right now. And you know what she said? She got a big smile on her face. She said, preacher, I understand. You're right. It's okay. I said, thank you. I said, and we'll get you right back in there as soon as you work on it and get some things straightened out. She said, oh, that's okay. I'm good with it. Thank you. Thank you for being easy to reprove. Now, there's a man in the church right now that has done something that I feel needs the same attention that I gave the other man this week. There's a man, I need to approach him and say, you're wrong about something and it shouldn't happen, but I'm afraid to because I just know how he's going to act. There's a woman right now. She too has a position that I feel she has soiled the reputation of that position. And for the sake of the church, I feel like I need to say to her, now you ought not have done that and we need to change something a little bit here, but I'm afraid of her. Well, now, just so you know, I'm more afraid of God. You know, don't miscalculate that little statement, I'm afraid of her. But what I mean is this, I fear. I fear that man because I know how he is. I fear that woman because I know how she's going to go off. And the Bible says this, he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself ashamed. In other words, the man that has the job of reproving someone that's a scorner, that scorner is going to turn around and try to shame the man that does the reproving. It goes on to say, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth to himself a blot. What that means is, if someone's wicked and they're mean about the way they live, when you go to do the correcting, they're going to turn around and try to blot your reputation. So that's what it's saying here. Oh, but I love it. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know what? I want you to be a wise man. Because when I need to do my job as pastor, I'd like to be able to, with all long suffering and love, correct you, and then you love me back, and we all just serve God and realize there are times when somebody needs to rebuke us. Let me tell you a couple quick stories. Listen to this. Mark chapter 8, verse 32 and 33. The Bible says, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, the him here is Jesus. Understand, now, when I say him, I want you to know right away I'm talking about Jesus. Now listen, And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter's rebuking who? Oh, boy. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. That's pretty tough. Jesus says, you devil! Oh, my. And now listen, Peter was one of these fellows that would lose his self-control all the way to the point Peter rebukes Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. Those that are of that don't have a lot of self-control have a very difficult time with rebuke. They get out of hand. So if you're not one of good self-control, you may want to listen real carefully to what I say tonight. Peter rebuked Jesus? Wow. He didn't have a good handle on his control, did he? Let me read another passage of Scripture to you. The Bible says in Luke 23, verse 40, it says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Here are the two malefactors that are hanging on the cross, one to the right of Jesus, one to the left of Jesus. And they're having a conversation, and one of the malefactors, you know, that says something snotty kind of about Jesus, and the other guy rebukes him. Now, understand, these men are hanging on a cross and they're about to die. You know what? It's too bad that this guy that finally catches on to what rebuke is really all about, it's too bad he didn't catch it before he's about to die. Because finally he realizes, hey, I had to rebuke this other fellow for saying something against God. Had the guy doing the rebuking realized that a long time ago, he probably wouldn't be hanging on a cross right now. You see, the two malefactors were hanging on the cross because of their sin. Jesus was hanging on the cross because of your sin. Now, here we see Peter, who can't control himself. He actually rebukes God. And now we see two sinners. One rebukes the other, and appropriately, he stands up for Jesus. The only problem is this guy's life's now gone. I wonder how many people learn the lessons of rebuke too late. Another story. The Bible says, but Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved, there's that word, by him, for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Here the Bible says, Herod is reproved by John the Baptist. Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife, and John the Baptist speaks up and says, hey, buddy, you're not supposed to be sleeping around like that. He preached the truth. He actually told Herod, he said, you're doing wrong. You know how Herod responded? Put him in jail, cut his head off. You know, often people who are wrong, if they've got the wrong spirit, their attitude goes to an attitude of attack, and they attack the person who's right. See, correction is your friend. Don't hate your friend. Correction will help you. Don't reject help. It is pride that keeps us from receiving reproof. It is arrogance that keeps us from accepting correction. People who will not accept reproof get hurt a lot in life, and it's self-inflicted hurt. People who won't receive reproof never become everything that God wanted them to become. There were so many lessons that they should have learned that they never learned because they rejected the correction of God. Correction is a builder, not a destroyer. We somehow, in our pride and in our arrogance, think that correction comes to us to destroy us. No, correction is not there to break you. It's there to make you. Many of you say, I'm not going to put up with that. You're not going to tear me down. Who taught you that correction tears down? Correction builds up. When we correct our children, are we trying to destroy them? No. We're trying to make them. And if you don't correct your children, you are destroying your children. When you let your children run wild and do whatever they want, that's not love. Love corrects. Love reproves. These churches where the preacher never preaches on sin. And he says, I just am a man of love, liar. I love my people. I'm going to tell them what's going to hurt them. It's not personal. If you went out and got drunk last night, I'll preach against your drunkenness on Sunday morning. But it's not personal. I'm a sinner too. It's because I care about you and I got to tell you the truth. Folks, we sometimes misunderstand reproof and correction and rebuke. Now, let me teach you some things about it, and I promise I'll hurry. First of all, to reject reproof is a major personal flaw. It's a major error in life. Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17 says this, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth." When I played baseball, and I love playing ball, pick up baseball game, an organized baseball game, it didn't matter to me. I love playing baseball. I love playing shortstop. But, you know, playing shortstop, they would hit you them hot grounders. Now, I loved a hot grounder as long as it didn't make it past me. Well, I remember when I first started playing shortstop, I was scared. Because that ball would come a-zooming at you, especially on the fields that we played on. They were not smooth. That ball could ricochet and go anywhere. Man, you had to be the bionic man and the elastic man all at one time to duck and catch, you know, because there's no telling what that ball would do. But here's what happened. If they'd hit a ball to me and that ball was coming right to me and then I would miss it, they wrote it down as an error. I made an error. Now listen to me now. When correction comes right to you, and you don't let it do what it's supposed to do, you have committed an error. Success came right to you, and you rejected. You let the correction bounce past you. See, if I caught that ball, I was successful. And the Bible says, "But he that refuseth reproof erreth." It's just like an error in baseball. The opportunity came to you, and you bypassed the opportunity. And remember, we take correction as a negative. God intended correction as a positive. Good leadership intends correction as a positive. I never correct anybody to hurt them, ever. I don't correct people to destroy them, to be mean to them. I correct them to be good to them. You're making a mistake if you don't let people reprove you. When reproof comes your way, can you accept it? Can you accept the personal responsibility of your error and say, "Thanks for loving me. Thanks for telling me. I needed to know." And the Bible's teaching here that when we err, it's a major mistake. We're going to mess up a lot in life. Listen to this statement, and I just wish so much I could develop some of the things that I'm saying tonight. Correction is protection. Correction is protection. Children, when mom and dad correct you, they're trying to protect you. Christian, when the preacher corrects you, he's trying to protect you. Student, when the teacher's correcting you, they're trying to protect you. And listen to this leadership. Anytime correction is not protection, and anytime correction is not instruction, and anytime correction is not done with patience and kindness, there's a problem. When you're in the flesh trying to correct somebody that's been in the flesh, you're no better than them. Correction should be done in the spirit. And so I say to you, number one, to reject reproof is a major personal error. It means success came right to you, and you let it go by you. Number two, people who hate reproof are brutish, the Bible says. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Brutish. Now, first of all, notice it says, "hateth reproof." In other words, let me ask you a question. Do you hate reproof? Do you hate to be told you're wrong? Teenagers, be careful. One stage of life where people can become brutish is in their teenage years, where you're not a child and you're not a 25-year-old adult anymore. You're a young adult, and you have this tendency to hate being corrected. You better not let that develop into a total attitude of life, because you'll destroy yourself. You'll destroy yourself. Do you hate being corrected? Do you hate being scolded? Some of you young people, I could change your total attitude in school tomorrow if you just realize correction is for your protection. Now let's notice, the Bible says here, it uses the term brutish. Now, if you study that in the Hebrew language, this is virtually what the word brutish means. As rough and as dumb as an animal. People that hate protection are as dumb as a bull and as destructive as a bull. They're brutes. Have you ever heard the Bible use the term brute beasts? You see, they're bullies in life. Out of control. Tantrum throwers. A bit wild. For instance, who was somebody in the Bible that was brutish when they were wrong and they were corrected? Well, Herod. The man of God said, John the Baptist didn't come up with the fact that adultery is a sin. He just was saying what God had said a long time ago. Wasn't John the Baptist's idea? I don't know that John the Baptist had a personal quarrel with Herod. He just said, Herod, you have your brother's wife. That's wrong. It's adultery. Herod said, that's it. I'll kill you. To jail you go. Hack off his head. Done deal. Now, who was wrong? John or Herod? Herod. But Herod was a reproof rejecter, and he was a brute beast, and somebody died because of it. I can tell you probably what destroys as many preachers as anything else, a preacher that stands up and preaches the Word of God, a preacher that practices correction in the church, and there are folks who are reproof rejectors in the church, and they attack him and try to destroy him because he corrected them. Hurts a lot of people. But I said to you, number two, people who hate reproof are brutish. Now, notice, I said, it says hate reproof. Talks about hating reproof. Are you to the point where you're a reproof hater? Let me go on. Number three. People who hate correction are people who have forsaken right. Listen, Proverbs 15:10, the first part of the verse says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. Listen, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. Now what's the way? The way is the right way to live. The way is God's way. The way is the Bible way. People who were once in the way and are now out of the way don't want to be told that they're wrong. You hear that? People that at one time were in the way and they know the way, who get out of the way and won't go back into the way, don't want to be told by you they're out of the way. And listen to this, and let me teach you something. I fear backslidden saved people in the church more than lost people in the church. You hear that? More destructive to a local New Testament church is a backslidden Christian who won't be rebuked, who won't be corrected, than a lost person in the church. They're more dangerous. They're more dangerous. They're more vicious. Why? They don't want to be told. They're not going to be told. Lost people, they're lost. They're on their way to hell. How can you expect any better of them? Saved people have rejected. They flat out said, I'm saved, but I'm not putting up with this. They're dangerous. You watch people start getting away from where they're supposed to be with the Lord. Better watch. You better be very, very careful. And as you get away from the Lord, you better come to your senses real quick. You're dangerous to the church. Let me go on. Number four, people who hate correction can die from it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 10, the last part of the verse says, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Now, you know, there are some people that will disobey unto death. Now, I can't tell you who they are. You won't know exactly who they are. Unless God told us that someone died because of their rebellion, we don't know that. But listen, that's simple. It says, he that hateth reproof shall die. Listen, children who reject their parents' reproof will die early. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, you young people, you children, if you're not careful, you'll die early. Why? Because you don't let mom and dad correct you. Notice here it says, and he that hateth reproof. That means that this is somebody that's a rebel. It's somebody that's out of control. Nobody can talk to them. So anybody here ever been around either a Christian or somebody at work that everyone says, there's no talking to him now. There's nobody going to get close to him now. That kind of person is setting themselves up for early death. What right do you have to say that, Brother Owens? I'm just reading it. And he that hateth reproof shall die. You push reproof away long enough, you'll probably die. I've come across Christians in my lifetime, in the last many, many years of my life, that I thought, whew, I'm scared for them. You can't get them on track. They won't be corrected. And I think, yeah, I hope they don't die. Let me go on. Number five, reproof rejectors will have an absence of love in their life. Reproof rejectors, people that can't be corrected, people that can't be reproved, they're going to have a lack of love in their life. Let me read this to you. Proverbs 15:12 says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Here's someone that is rebellious about reproof, and it talks about they don't love the one that reproves them, but I believe it even goes further than that. I think those that can't take correction and those that can't take reproof usually are not real lovers. Reproof rejectors have a lack of love. You want to know why? They're so self-centered. They're just so self-centered. People don't feel loved by reproof rejectors. I could tell you stories of people that no matter what you do, you can't reprove them. And I could also say this. If I were to take a poll and said, how many people feel loved by so-and-so, probably nobody would sign up. Somehow, when you're not tender enough to take instruction and you're not tender enough to take reproof and you can't be corrected, there are not all sorts of people going around saying, boy, she's just the deepest lover I've ever met. He just has love dripping from him. No, you're rebellious and you're harsh and you're hard and you're brutish. Right. So by rejecting reproof, you are minimizing your ability to love.
Good.
Let me go on. Number six. Reproof rejectors will not take their gripes to wise people, but they're more than likely to take their reproof and their gripes to other rejectors and other fools. Listen to this. The Bible says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Here's somebody that's been told, you stop that. And they say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what I want. They won't go to some wise person in the church to get help with that. They'll go to some other reproof rejector. You be careful. If you know someone has been asked to stop this or stop that, and they're just not going to do it, and you're their best friend, they're saying that they believe that they can chum up with you because you're not wise. Listen to the verse. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. That means when someone has been corrected, when someone has been reproved, and they reject it, they don't go to the wise people of the church to chum up, find their friendships, get their advice. They go to other fools in the church. They go to other reproof rejectors. Why? Well, they want somebody to agree with them because they don't want to be corrected. Who are you, ma'am? Who are you, sir? You don't run to the other wise people in the church when you have your gripes. Somebody told you you need to stop that and that's not right and you should stop this and that's inappropriate. And you say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Hey, folks, you better be careful. If the fool is running to you, it might mean that they don't think you're wise. And you'll need to make sure that you do right. Now, let me move on. People who have to be repeatedly reproved get harder and harder and almost impossible to help. Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Here the Bible's talking about hardening the neck. In other words, this person that you try to correct and they don't take it, and you try to correct and with all long-suffering and tenderness and kindness and wisdom, and you try to work with them, and you try to work with them, but they're not going to take it. They're not going to take it. They're not going to take it. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. What does it mean, hardeneth his neck? He's becoming more and more tense about it. He's locking into his position more and more. He's tightening up his spiritual muscles in rebellion toward the rebuke and the leadership. And some of you, there are a couple people in here tonight. You won't be in this church 1 year from now. And I'm a very patient corrector. Very patient. But there are people here that in a year, they won't be here. You say, why? You're hiding your neck. Take it. You're all spiritually tightened up. You're brittle. And the Bible says, listen, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. You say, suddenly destroyed? Not suddenly to the rest of us. Suddenly to you. Because somebody's been trying to tell you that's going to mess you up. That's going to goof you up. That's the wrong way. You're doing the wrong thing. But you won't accept it. So suddenly something comes to you and slams you and destroys you. You're going, I didn't see that coming. Everybody else is saying, seen that coming. Seen his attitude. I knew what that was going to cause. Seen her attitude. I knew that was going to cause. I seen that young married couple's attitude. I knew what that was going to cause. They were told it was wrong, and they did it anyway. And they were told it was wrong, and they did it anyway. And somebody loved them, they told them, and they wouldn't listen, and wouldn't listen. And they're getting like this. Oh, I'm getting tired of this. And before long, they're looking for everything they can that's wrong. And before long, they're slammed. They messed up their marriage, messed up their kids, and they're suddenly destroyed. And that without remedy. You see big trouble that build up and build up and build up and build up. Hey, you young people, some of you teenagers need to listen to me very carefully. You young people who in school are always the one being reproved. The ones that repeatedly, always in trouble. Always. Always. You can't make it a month without being in trouble. Listen to the Bible, young people. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And parent, when they destroy themselves, don't get mad at the school, you brute beast. Well, I'll get that, Brother Bush. Everybody's out to get my kid. There's nobody out to get your child. I don't believe that of anybody in this church. The devil's out to get your child. Your child is out to get your child. Brute beasts. Out of control. Can't be corrected. Get madder and madder about it. Let's go on. Number 8. The reason some people hate reproof is because they're evil. John chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." I want you to remember something. Evil and sin are different. Evil is when we're out to hurt others or we pull others into our hurt. When you can't be rebuked, or if you're rebuked, and then you run to someone else and you stir up trouble with them and you try to pull them into your disobedience, God said, you're evil. You're evil. Reproof rejectors are not just sinners. They're evil. Reproof rejectors end up being people destroyers. Why? Well, you're going to mess yourself up and you're going to pull some others down with you because your arrogance and pride, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. Let me go on. Number 9. People don't want to be reproved because they don't want their wrong to be revealed. Again, John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Light reveals things. There are some people that don't want their wrong revealed. They like their wrong. They're dead set that they're right and the preacher's wrong. They're dead set that they're right and the staff is wrong. They're dead set that they're right. They know better. They've done this before. They know all about life. They don't want to change. And that's why they won't be reproved. And the Bible says, "Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Now, let me tell you a couple things and we're done. Let me give you some scripture very quickly about the proper attitude toward rebuke, the right attitude toward correction. Listen to this. Proverbs 6:23 says this, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." If you can learn to handle reproof and handle correction, it'll keep you alive longer. It says the way of life. It also will give you a better life. It is talking about the longevity of your life, but it's also talking about the quality of your life, Christian quality. Listen to what it said. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Everybody here that can take reproof and that can take correction and they can take rebuke right, you are going to have a better life. Some of you are going to destroy your life. Let me go on. Here's another verse. Proverbs 13:18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. If you can handle reproof well, God said, you'll end up honored in life. You'll end up honored. You will be promoted. Promotion comes to those that can handle reproof. I've been around a long time. I've been leading since I was a very, very young man. And I'll promise you, the people around me that get promoted are the ones that when they need to be corrected can handle it like a man. They're not bitter. They're not angry. They're not positioning themselves to fight for themselves. Sometimes it's really not even about the act that needed to be reproved. Sometimes it's just about the attitude of the one being reproved. Maybe it is that God just wants to see how big you are. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. You know what? If you can take it when your boss chews you out, you're probably going to be around a while and get a promotion someday. If you can take it graciously and like a man and step up and say, you know what, okay. It's a guy that at lunch starts backstabbing and throwing things and stealing things from the shop and destroying the property of the business because they got reproved. You really think they're going to be honored? Why should you have an employee that is destructive? Why would you honor them? Let me go on. Proverbs 16:5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. There it is. Handling reproof right. The word prudent there means one who makes decisions that will be profitable. If you are a prudent person, you're a thorough thinker and your decisions yield profit, spiritual profit. People that can handle reproof make better decisions in life. Hey, reproof is a good trainer of your attitude control. Reproof is a good trainer of your thought control. I mean, if somebody is correcting you and you can handle it, you do it with dignity and propriety, God's going to say, you know, the pressure's on this person. They're being rebuked, they're being corrected, and look how they handle it. God said, this person has some good mind control. They have character control. They have control. Their temperament is well yielded. I can use them. God doesn't need people with their attitudes and their spirits out of control. Let me go on. Proverbs 15:32, it says, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. People that can handle reproof and handle correction understand more about life. I'll tell you, remember when I told you earlier that someone that rejects reproof are like brute beasts, the Bible says? They're brutish? Listen, people that you can't correct and people that are so full of pride and people that can't be rebuked, a lot of them are, I don't know any way to put it other than they're just stupid. You already look at somebody and say, what are they doing? You try to correct them, they go off even deeper into the same stupid direction. You're thinking, wake up, idiot! I mean, can't you see? Nah, they can't see. It's like a wild animal in a tame world. They don't want to be corrected. But the Bible says, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. He said, but the ones I want to understand. There's some of you, you're in desperate need of understanding. You're in desperate need of understanding. You need to be able to see more than what is right in front of you. You need to be able to transfer the scriptural concepts of life that you're taught from one area of life to another. You're desperate for understanding, and let me tell you why you don't have it. Because you won't let anybody correct you. If you would let someone correct you and correct you, and you would take it with the right attitude, God would take the blinders off of your eyes. You would see more. Proverbs 15:31, the Bible says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Now God said, if you can handle reproof properly, if you can handle correction properly, it says you will abide among the wise. The word abide there means live. This does not mean you will just visit wisdom every once in a while in your life. You will live there. How would you like to live as a wise person? Now, some of you stumble onto wisdom every once in a while. You do something wise. Now, a lot of you do good things, but you know, life is not all just right and wrong decisions. A lot of life is good, better, and best decisions. You know what I want? Best. I want the ultimate insight and wisdom of God in my life. You say, that's what I want too, Brother Owens. I want to live in wisdom. All right, then handle rebuke well. Handle correction well. For some reason, correction and rebuke seems to be one of the doors that enter into the world of the wise. If you can't handle correction, if you can't handle rebuke, then God says, I can't give you wisdom. It'd be dangerous to you. Y'all out there? Everybody here? A couple more scriptures and we'll be done. I know sometimes scripture is just as boring as all get out, but let's go on here. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 10, the Bible says, reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. If you're wise, if you have an element of wisdom, you can be corrected. But you've got to beat the snot out of a fool to get them to listen. Some of you say, I just feel beat up by correction all the time. You're a fool. Listen to the verse. A reproof entereth more into a wise man, and it says a reproof. Virtually it's saying one reproof enters into a wise man very quickly, then 100 stripes into a fool. You know that Jesus, when he was crucified, was beaten 40 stripes, saved one? That's because they believed that 40 stripes would kill a man. They beat him 39 times, beating within inches of his life. Most men died before 40 stripes. Here the Bible says, you can beat a man 40 times and kill him, beat him again 40 times and kill him again and take him halfway to death again. And some are still stupid enough to say, I'm not going to be corrected in this area. God said, I can kill you 2.5 times. And you still won't listen. And a wise man, it says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. We shouldn't have to be corrected about the same thing over and 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 over again. Listen to me. Let me love you for a second, but be candid with you. Some of you, the financial mess that you've got yourself in again shouldn't happen. How many times do you have to straighten that out? For you young people. Why are you in trouble again? The same thing. And you know, you'll get mad at everybody else. It's the church's fault. It's the school's fault. It's your Sunday school teacher's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's your mom's fault. It's your dad's fault. Why are you blaming all those people? They're all the ones that corrected me. You mean all those people loved you enough to tell you the truth all those times and you rejected it every time? Good. One more verse and we'll go home. Proverbs 19:25, the Bible says, smite a scorner and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. Now, I want you to listen to that verse again. Listen to it very carefully. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. You know what it said right there? If you have understanding, you can be corrected. But then it says, if you smite a scorner, reprove one. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. You notice something? The scorner here is not reacting. It said here, you smite the scorner, and the simple will beware. For some of you, the only good you are is all the beating you're taking for not listening. Somebody else is learning from it.
That's right.
Somebody else is looking at your life saying, psh, I'm glad I'm not them.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for the self-inflicted punching bags of life that get the snot beat out of them, and the rest of us step back and say, I'm learning from you, sucker. Others learn more from your correction than you do. Isn't that sad? That's why it says, smite the scorner, and the simple will beware. The Bible, remember, smite a scorner, the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he'll understand knowledge. Do you know there are some people that have knowledge, but they don't understand the knowledge? What do you mean? There are some of you, you say, well, the Bible says this, and I believe it, but you don't understand it. How would you like to understand what you believe? I think you ought to believe it by faith. There's a whole lot more to understand about the Bible than just believing it by faith. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free to do what? Not to fly around like a duck. If you know the truth will make you free to know other truths. Every truth has another truth tied to its tail.
Yes, sir.
You walk in the front door of the truth, and if you become intimate with that truth, and that truth becomes a part of you, on the back door of that truth is another truth. You walk in life from room of truth to room of truth, from room of truth to room of truth. A lot of people just say, well, that's what I believe, but you don't understand it. The people that can take rebuke understand truth, not just believe truth. That's why it says, smite a scorner and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. This thing of being able to handle reproof and rebuke, it's pretty big. Evidently here it has something to do with you getting wise. It has something to do with the length of your life, the prosperity of your life, the honor of your life, the productivity of your life. It has to do with whether your life will be good or bad. It has to do whether you'll be promoted or not. Who in the world wants somebody to work under them that can't be corrected? They throw a fit and become your enemy the moment you say, stop that. And young people, you better stop and calculate how often you reject the rebuke of your mom and dad because it has everything to do with your future.
Yes,